I constantly thank my husband for having such a short name, because I always have that issue with Roethlisberger, or I did anyways, prior to getting married. All right, so thank you for the introduction. I'm with Texas A&M AgriLife Research in Lubbock, as well as I have a teaching appointment with Texas Tech University in Lubbock as well. Before I get started, I'd like to give credit to my co-authors, Paul DeLon and Wayne Keeling. So to start off, introduce you a little bit to the Texas High Plains, which is a new area for me as well. I've been there for about the past year now and have learned several different things about farming practices that are not common throughout the rest of the state of Texas. So in the Southern High Plains, which is about where this bottom arrow is here, we are in a semi-arid environment. In 2014, we had about 2.5 million acres of cotton harvested with 2.6 million bales produced. Of this land, about 50% is irrigated. And of the bales that were harvested in 2014, this made up about 45% of the Texas cotton. Because we are primarily a cotton production area, and that's the way it's been for decades, there are several issues that are of concern. Number one being soil crusting, just the overall soil quality. So we have poor soil structure, which causes issues with germination and emergence in our cotton. And also we have these sandstorms, these haboobs, which can destroy a field of cotton pretty quickly. Not up here also, but we have concerns with our levels of water in the Ogallala Aquifer. So because we have such poor soil quality, and if we continue these same cotton production systems, we're going to continue to diminish that soil quality. The project objective for this was to demonstrate and quantify the impact of conservation tillage and cover cropping on soil carbon, soil health, and soil water holding capacity, and then also look at the subsequent yield of deficit irrigated cotton production. The end of the study will also be looking at the overall economics of these practices. The study was funded by NRCS. It is going to go from 2015 to 2017. There are three locations throughout the state of Texas, one of those being where I'm at, near Lubbock, about 50 miles south of Lubbock in La Mesa. In Chillicothe, Paul DeLon also has a site at this location, and then down in Beeville on the in the Gulf Coast area, Jamie Foster is also the PI on that project there. The treatments that we're looking at least at the La Mesa location, is conventional tillage versus no-till with a rye cover and no-till with a mixed cover. The mixed cover includes hairy vetch, winter pea, radish, as well as rye. Some of the things that we're going to discuss today and that we've measured would be the effects of tillage and cover crop on soil health, soil water storage, nutrient availability, and also cotton yield. The project, like I said, was conducted in La Mesa, Texas. This is a collaboration or cooperation with Texas A&M AgriLife and the farmers in Dawson County where this project was conducted. It was designed as a RCBD. We have three plots per treatment. Each plot is 16 rows by 76 meters long. This study is under deficit irrigation using low energy precision application. For the first year of cover crops, we planted in December of 2014. These crops were then chemically terminated in March of 2015. We would have really liked to have got that cover crop planted much earlier, but due to rains, late cotton harvest, we had to postpone that till December to get them planted. However, this year we were extra early and cover crops have already been planted or out in the field. After we terminated the cover crops, we then took soil samples, planted cotton May of 2015, and it was recently harvested on October 28th. Moving on to results. So when we do take soil samples, we take them from a 0 to 15 centimeter depth, 15 to 30, and 30 to 60. For each depth, we go through just a routine soil analysis, measuring macro and micronutrients, nitrate concentrations, as well as organic carbon and organic nitrogen. Looking at organic carbon within depth, we have increased organic carbon with the no-till rye as well as the no-till mixed cover. And one thing I forgot to mention earlier, this location actually we implemented no-till practices with a rye cover in 1998. So this is why we're seeing the results that we're seeing is because of that 17-year time span. Of course, if we had just initiated the study, we wouldn't be seeing results like this. So the top 15 centimeters, we are seeing differences in organic carbon, much greater concentrations in that top 15 centimeters. As we move down the profile, we don't see much of a difference at all. 15 to 30 centimeters, even in the 30 to 60, there may be some slight differences here at the lower depth. When we take soil samples, that top 15 centimeters, we send to Temple for the soil health assessment. Just to briefly explain some of these, so the organic carbon and organic nitrogen are a water extractable form of both of these. The nitrogen that's calculated would be a value, or would be calculated as the ammonium plus 70% of the nitrate because of the potential for leaching, plus that microbial active carbon and times organic nitrogen, and then he has this 4 that's a fudge factor. So looking at the water extractable carbon and nitrogen, same results that we saw with the concentration of organic carbon in the soil. For the conventional, we have much less organic carbon and organic nitrogen. Nitrate, same thing, and just about all the parameters, what we saw is greater concentrations with the no-till practice compared to the conventional. And an important aspect to me is this nutrient value. So based on the nutrients in the soil and the microbial active fraction of carbon and that organic, water extractable organic carbon and nitrogen, we developed this nutrient value. So with these no-till cover crop systems, we do have a greater nutrient value and also soil health. Looking at the moisture, this represents the cumulative stored moisture from a 0 to 140 centimeter depth. These values are in millimeters. We have conventional, that is the blue dashed line, no-till with rye, the red, and then no-till mixed with the green. The bottom lines here represent rainfall events. So remember, we have a sandy soil. Really, the only time that we see an increase in soil moisture in this sandy soil is following a rain event. So if we start here at the beginning, this would have been right about the time that we terminated the cover crops. We see greater soil moisture in this conventional system. However, once those are terminated, we have pretty nice rainfall event, then we see greater moisture in those no-till systems. And this same trend follows throughout. Of course, we see a decrease in moisture content simply because we've planted cotton. Cotton's taking up that water. But it is nice to see that in a sandy soil like this, that by using no-till practices, cover crops, that we can enhance that ability of the soil to store that moisture that we're receiving from rainfall. Moving on to the cover crop yield and nitrogen uptake, with the single species mixed cover of rye, we had greater biomass dry matter produced compared to the mixed species. And of course, because of this, we had greater nitrogen uptake. This also explains on the table here why we have greater available, plant available nitrogen in the form of nitrate as well as ammonium and nitrate. With this mixed cover, we had less biomass produced, less nitrogen being taken up. Moving on to the cotton yield, we did not see, and this is an estimated lint yield based on a 33% turnout, we did not see any differences between these symptoms as far as cotton yield goes. Some may see this as a a positive thing, which it is positive. We're not decreasing our yields, but at the same time, we would like to see even greater increase in these no-till systems, just simply for the economic sustainability of these systems. So in conclusion or in summary, 17 years after implementing conservation tillage and rye cover, we do see that we aren't inhibiting cotton production or cotton yield. However, we are enhancing soil health parameters, soil organic carbon, the nutrient value of the soil, as well as the soil's ability to store or hold moisture. And with that, I would like to acknowledge my research assistant, Dustin Kelly, Glenn Ritchie, and his group for being very helpful, Partson and Bill, which are both part of Paul DeLon's group as well. So thank you, and I'd like to take any questions.
What's the farmer adoption rate for
this? Very low.
How can that be when there's still a dust storm?
So one of the big issues, my husband's a farmer in the area. That's actually where some of those pictures were taken, the dust storms and then that compacted soil. And one of the issues, they have a no-till farm that had been in no-till for 4 to 5 years. The weed pressure this last year was horrible. And so they had to go in, bring out cultivators just to control the weeds in the field. So I think that's a lot of it. And just old habits are hard to kill. No, not much at all. It was pigweed was the primary issue. Thank you.